Welcome to the Better Brave podcast, where you get to hear unique stories from guests like you who choose to live bravely outside of their comfort zones. I'm Candace Dudley, your host, former teacher turned online business mentor and podcaster. This podcast is for you if you're committed to living life on purpose, no more following the rules of society. Go hit the follow button if you haven't yet and tune in every Tuesday for a new episode.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. I have Samantha Tredelius on. She is a natural go-getter, multi-passionate entrepreneur. She owns Commercial Coverage Insurance Agency and is currently serving as the Vice President of Operations at Lightspeed Learning. Samantha channels her deep passion for insurance education, catering to agents and brokers throughout California. She's a self-starter and natural networker and swiftly established the Sparkle Foundation. This nonprofit is dedicated to providing essential support for single mothers and children throughout the Bay Area and the cities of Los Angeles and Sacramento. In addition to founding the Sparkle Foundation, Samantha established Sparkle Biz, offering microloans for female-owned small businesses and access to a vast interconnected network. Since its inception in 2016, the Sparkle Foundation has raised more than $2 million, served over 10,000 lives with every dollar reinvested in the community. Welcome. I am so excited to hear about your multi-passionate journey. Tell us about that and how you've established so many wonderful businesses.
Oh my goodness. Hello. Thanks for having me. There's a lot going on. And I realized as you were talking, I have done a few more things since that bio was written. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different moving parts of me. There's, you know, insurance me, philanthropist me. There's also mom me. Podcast is also something I'm involved with. I mean, there's just a lot of different things all the time. And I feel like filling my time with the things that bring me joy as I age so gracefully into this 40-year-old seat, you know, I think it's about spending the time in the way that I want to and diving into the projects that really fuel my fire.
How does someone really step fully into who they are? How can they leverage their unique ideas and skills?
I think we're constantly stepping into who we are and it's constantly evolving, you know, because who I was last week is maybe different than I am today.
Right.
You know, environmentally and all the things that come our way. I think finding and figuring out what is your passion and your purpose and what brings you joy and then just going all in on it is the best way I can kind of define how I've done it. And not always having it all figured out is also kind of cool because you get to kind of evolve and transition into different parts of what this you becomes. The first thing though you got to do every time is you got to try and you got to step into those shoes and start walking.
For sure. So if we back up a little bit here and talk about what pushed you into creating your own businesses.
So insurance is something I grew up in. My family owns a licensing school for insurance. So education has always been something I've been involved with as far as the industry goes. You know, I started teaching class when I was 17 years old when a teacher didn't show up to teach a class. And there was a whole bunch of people in this room. And I thought, okay, well, I guess this is what my day's like today. And I was 17 at the time when that started. Graduating college, you know, realizing my parents weren't ready to retire kind of made sense that I needed to do something. And so my dad and I started an insurance agency, which I ran for several years prior to meeting my husband. He had just started Commercial Coverage and I kind of came into the mix and we ran that company for about 20 years. And it's recently been acquired in the last 18 months or so. So that's been an interesting transition for us. Think with anything, it's, you know, these different parts of my life career has then kind of moved me into my nonprofit space, which a lot of the skills that I had from being a business owner, I took into running a organization that was a completely different animal, which is the seat that I sit in now as an executive director of the Sparkle Foundation and have for the last 8 years. Yeah, I think the different things that I do all kind of intertwine in different ways. And I take things that I learn from one and apply it or change it around and make it make sense for the next phase.
Were there any other times in your life, you said by 17, you were kind of diving into things. Were there any 9-to-5 jobs before you became an entrepreneur?
No. Well, okay, wait, yes. My very first job ever was at Noah's Bagels. I was the bagel girl. I did that when I was like 16. I wanted to be able to buy CDs and put gas in my car. And those were the requirements. So I was making like $6.25 an hour. This is like in the 90s. And then I actually had one other job. I worked at Jamba Juice. And those were my two jobs that, you know, I went to work when somebody told me to. And otherwise, I've always worked for myself, for my family.
Being so multi-passionate and being in this entrepreneurial space for so long, how do you know which nudges to follow? How do you know which new ideas, which new businesses to launch, and how to navigate that?
You don't really. There's no like, okay, here's the matrix, you know, when A and 1 and 2 meet up, go. I kind of try different things all the time. I know what I'm good at. I know where I can be effective. And I know the areas I'm not good at. I bring in people that can help me and kind of trudge forward in that way. You don't really know. I mean, and there's never been like, oh, that's a gold star and that was a knock out of the park. Everything I've ever done has been hard. It's been challenging, but it's been super rewarding once you know, kind of get to the place that you want to go. And it's ever evolving. So it's not to say satisfaction is I climbed to the top of the mountain. It's then what are you going to do once you get there? And you got to keep going and go to the next one.
Definitely. And how do you balance all of it? You're a mother, you have all these different hats. What advice do you have for someone that is trying to juggle so much?
First of all, get rid of the word balance because it's a dumb word that doesn't exist. Yes. Every day looks different. And I think we have to remember that as mothers, as women, and as just individuals, you know, different days are going to require different parts of us. And so it's how you want to design that day to make it make sense for you. If you're in a position to where, you know, 9 to 5, you need to be committed to a desk or whatever that is, then how you spend that afternoon time or the evening time is going to be different every day. And being able to give yourself that grace to design your days differently, to have the quote unquote ebb and flow that one needs to function, I think is what it's about, because it's not always the same every day. And everybody always says, oh, how do you do it all? Guess what? I don't do it all. That's the first secret. Some days, other things are going to get different, you know, energy than the next. So it just really depends on what's in front of me.
I have a lot of listeners who are probably in the early stages of maybe even trying to find belief in themselves to leave a 9 to 5 or to create a side business. Those baby stages of entrepreneurship. What would you say to those women, just the mindset work that goes into being able to take that very first leap?
Well, the first thing is, you know, a lot of it's financial constraints, because if you're not bringing in income, you've got these responsibilities. And so that's a very scary thing. First and foremost is you want to be in a position to where you can feed yourself or pay your bills or take care of your family if you're responsible in doing so. The next thing is really thinking about what's holding you back. What are you afraid of? Are you afraid of failure? Because you have to fail. You have to fail to get better, to succeed. That's it. Nobody just wakes up and is a rock star all the time. I mean, you're even Mick Jagger failed in his days before he was, you know, Mick Jagger. And so I think that's the big thing too, is really realizing like, what are your fear? Are you afraid of failing? Are you afraid of not having the answers? Are you afraid of what people will think? And then kind of moving those blocks out of the way and like, just go. Hit the ground and go. You're never going to get where you want unless you try.
Absolutely. What kind of mindset work do you do to keep your mindset in the right spaces to be doing all this?
I swear a lot.
Let it out.
No, I'm kidding. I take an hour a day for me and I work out. I do something physical every day and it helps me clear my head. I do things that make me challenge so I can like stop thinking about it. Like I'm not a big yoga or meditative person just because my mind doesn't shut off. But when I'm lifting a 60-pound dumbbell and I'm like, whoa, girl, I'm thinking about not killing myself. And so that makes me think differently. And that helps my mind stay fresh and stay, you know, able to attack the day when I'm done.
I like that. It kind of giving other people permission that if yoga and meditation, journaling, that's not your thing, do something else, because the idea is to ground yourself. And you're grounding yourself in that workout. Other people might use something else, but yeah, just doing whatever works for you. What do you wish people running their own businesses would know? Something that you know now that you didn't know in the beginning, but it'd be great if people knew it earlier.
It's, you'll never work harder than you do when you work for yourself. However, to be able to be the boss and make your own schedule and be able to do the things you want to do, I think is incredibly, it's incredibly like rewarding to be able to have that power. But it's also like really hard when you're, you know, the boss and you're making the bills make sense and paying someone's salary and there's no extra money. You're the one that's going to go without because you've got to take care of your team or pay rent or put the lights on and been there, done that. I mean, those are the struggles and hardships that can really level a person. That part's hard. And then I also think like, just like not taking stuff personally, you know, when it comes to business. I mean, we as women, we lead differently. We're empathetic, we're sympathetic, we listen, we have relationships, but then also sometimes we can have things sting and hit us in a way that we, as these beings, tend to be a little bit more emotional with certain things. And so one of my harder lessons I had to learn was like, this isn't about me, right? This is about, we've got the job to do. And if this person's not able to do the job, or this isn't a good fit, or we're not a good match, this isn't a personal thing. This is a professional business thing. And honestly, I've had times where I've had to let people go because for whatever reason, and it was like kind of like the best thing that probably could have happened to them, because then they went on and were incredible in different ways.
How important is community, and how do you create and nurture a community in your business?
Community is, it's everything in two fronts for me. Community is everything because that's, you know, I have an organization that serves the community. So in that sense, I'm very involved, and community for me means, you know, serving those around me. Community personally for myself is my board of directors, my personal people that I go to for all the things when I'm having a bad day, a good day, I don't know what to do day. My powerful girlfriends are 100% the only reason I am where I am today. And having that community, you know, in your tribe or your, you know, your little circle of trust is pivotal to growth. Women, especially, because we share and we feel and we can help each other in ways that we don't even realize that we're doing it sometimes.
What would you say to someone who feels like they don't have that space, that community, that trusted circle yet, and that they're maybe the only one thinking like an entrepreneur, or they're the only one having these new ideas, these new business ideas? Where can they find a community? What advice would you have for them if they're just kind of feeling isolated?
Being on the top sometimes can be an isolating place, because a lot of times entrepreneurs, we tend to be very in our own heads, and, you know, we kind of get wrapped up in our own thoughts and feelings, and it's hard sometimes to make space for other stuff. But, you know, if you are in a position to where you're wanting mentorship and friendship and connection with other people, I mean, you need to put yourself in the positions to meet those types of people. These things don't necessarily always happen super organically. So if you want to be around business women, you need to attend a business networking lunch with other business women. Or if you're in a specific trade, whether it's automotive or floral or insurance or whatever that is, find those groups, find those places, because I guarantee you there's a women's group affiliated with any industry, and jump in. I mean, you've got to put the energy in to get the energy out.
Yeah, absolutely. What are you working on now? What can people be looking for from you now in March 2024, going into the spring here?
It's an interesting question. I've got a couple things in the hopper. I just joined the California Department of Insurance Curriculum Board. So I am helping them with some educational objectives. And I wasn't quite sure what I got myself into, but I think that's going to be a pretty big undertaking. And I'm really quite excited about it. I've also, as I had mentioned before, my family is in the insurance education business, and my parents are now actually getting ready to retire at the end of the year. Okay. So I am taking, you know, roles back into that operation. I just launched a new podcast for insurance professionals. I'm doing a lot of continuing education classes. I'm teaching a lot. I'm building a lot of content. And I'm just trying to really shift the narrative with the industry, because for years it's been very pale, male, and stale. And a lot of the times when you're in the insurance business, being a woman is hard. And then also finding education and things you could really sink your teeth into and apply to real life. I wanted to kind of shift it and shake it up a bit. So that I'm being a little bit disruptive, and I like it. So I'm doing that. And then personally, you know, my kids are 13 and 11 now. We've got full-time schedules. And so I'm really just enjoying the time with them, because I know these years are so important, and it's very cool to watch this teen element going on. It's a lot. So, you know, I'm kind of taking some time just to really enjoy my kids.
I love that. I'm a former teacher of 13 years, so I love all the education and stuff that you are pouring into. It's definitely needed. What message? I love to always kind of wrap up with this. What message would you want the listeners to take away today if they remember nothing else that we've talked about?
Big takeaway is you've got to try. Because if you don't try, nothing's going to happen unless you try. The other thing is, I attended the California Women's Conference at the beginning of the month. And if you haven't been to that, or, and I know they do them all over the country, it was one of the coolest events I'd ever been to. One of the speakers there was Viola Davis. And if you've ever had the opportunity to listen to her speak, she is one of the most dynamic women on the planet. And one of the things she said was that we as women are kind of told that we are to leave our baggage and our experiences and our bits and pieces of us at the door when we enter into a workplace or an environment, because, you know, nobody wants that baggage. However, that baggage is what makes us who we are. So all of those isms that we have, and those self-doubts that we have, and those, you know, hardships that we've gone through, that's what makes us who we are. And that's how we become engaging in our environments with other human beings. And so bring all of it with you and take that and really grow with that, because I think that's what's going to help you get to the place that you want to be, wherever that is, as you evolve.
Yes, love that. Where can people connect with you?
Super simple. My website's samanthatrudelius.com, and also Instagram's, I'm pretty active there. I post a lot of my shenanigans, all the things all the time. And that's just my name, at Samantha Trudelius.
Perfect. I will link all that in the show notes for our listeners. And this was such a fun chat. Your energy is so vibrant and fantastic. Thanks so much for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for being here. I love being able to highlight entrepreneurial journeys because no two are the same. To grab my free sales page planner, or to book a discovery call with me, head to the show notes. Finally, please leave a quick review so I can continue this work. See you next week.